Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, December 4th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And today, this week is Parshat Vayetze, and we are going to focus on the beginning of the meeting between Yaakov and Lavan. When Yaakov runs away from his house, right? We know at the end of last week's parsha, after the whole incident with Esav, Yaakov runs away from his house for fear of his life, and his father tells him, you don't need the Chumash. His father tells him at the end of that parsha. He says to him, "Kum lech padena aram beta bituel avi imecha v'kach lecha misham isha mibnot lavan achi imecha. Go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bituel, your mother's father, and take a wife from there, from the daughters of Lavan, your mother's brother." Right, v'kach lach misham isha mibnot lavan achi imach. That's where he goes, and he gives him a blessing that God should give him offspring, and he possessed the land. The two major themes of the book of Bereshit.
Rabbi, do you have any idea what the distance between them?
Let me see. I don't offhand, but I think we should be able to figure it out. I'll check it out. I'll check it out later.
Okay.
So let me see here. I'm trying to see if it is
pretty far, yeah. I would say.
Okay. And then at the beginning of the parsha, we have Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Ve'ela Charana. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. He has a special dream. He has the dream of Sulam Yaakov, of Jacob's ladder, at the beginning of this week's parsha. Again, where God promises him that everything is going to be okay, and then he heads out on his way, and we get into chapter Chavtet, chapter 29, and he sees there's a flock of sheep that are gathered, and Yaakov asks the people there where they're from, and they said they're from Haran. And he says, "Do you know Lavan, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We do." And then they said, Yaakov said, "How's he doing?" And they said, "He's fine." And his daughter Rachel happens to be on her way with the flock. Okay? Make a long story short, he's invited back to Rachel's house. You don't have this pasuk in front of you, but the Torah says, the pasukim say, "Vayomer hein od hayom gadol lo et ha'asef ha'mikneh hashku hatzonu luchu uru'u." Look, the day is still long, it is not yet time to bring the livestock in, water the flock, and go on grazing. "Vayomru lo nuchal ad asher ye'asvu kol ha'adarim v'galu et ha'even mi'al pi ha'be'er v'hishkinu hatzon." We are unable to do this until the flocks will have been gathered, that they will roll the stone off the mouth of the well. Apparently it was a heavy stone, so all the shepherds came at the same time. They had a predetermined time, and they came to help take the rock off of the well. "Odenu midaber imam v'rachel ba im hatzon, asher la'avia ki ro'ahi." They were still talking. Rachel arrives with her father's flock, for she was a shepherdess. "V'hi kasher ra'a Yaakov et Rachel bat Lavan achi imo, v'yetzon Lavan achi imo, Vayigash Yaakov, Vayagel eta Evan, Me'alpi Habe'er, Vayashk etzon Lavan achi imo." When Yaakov saw Rachel, daughter of Lavan, his mother's brother, which is right the exact description that his father gave him, that he has to go to Lavan, his mother's brother. So it's that sort of the Torah's way of telling us that this mission, God has helped him succeed in this mission. "And the flock of Lavan, his mother's brother, Yaakov came forward and rolled the stone off the mouth of the well and watered the sheep of Lavan, his mother's brother." right? Interesting that Yaakov rolled this stone off of the well alone. That's what the Torah says, alone. Must have been very, very strong, considering that the other shepherds were waiting for their comrades, their co-shepherds to come.
But maybe it was a case of nobody getting the water first. Like everybody had to be there in order to go to the well.
It could be. Yeah, it could be.
The whole thing reminds us of with Eliezer and
Yes, well stories. There are well stories. Moshe also. Yes, there are. Right. Well stories are very a very important theme. In terms of how people met their wives at the wells, right? Exactly as you said, yeah.
No, but the sending somebody to be the wife and.
But here Yaakov's on his own, right? In the previous story we studied, Avraham did not send Yitzchak; he sent somebody else, sent Eliezer. Here, Yaakov's on his own because he's also running away, right? He's running away from Esau. Okay, so he takes off the gal, takes off the Evan, and he helped Rachel water her flock. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, vayisad kolo vayevch. And then he kissed Rachel, and he raised his voice and wept. And now we get to the meeting.
Yaakov kissed Rachel.
That's what the Torah says, Yaakov kissed Rachel. Isn't that nice?
Wow. On her hand, of course.
It doesn't say. It just says he kissed her, and he cried. He was so moved, right? He was so moved.
He was so moved. He was running away, and suddenly he saw this beautiful girl, and he understood that this is probably it, and so he was emotionally.
And he kissed her. Or he
thought she was beautiful, and he kissed her.
Nachon,
it happens, right? It happens. Romance.
Yeah.
A little romance in the Torah.
Yeah, she says Zechoreh.
Okay. So now we get to the source sheet that you have in front of you. Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi avihahu. Yaakov told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman. V'chi ben Rivkahu, and that he was Rivka's son. Vataratz vatageid la'aviha. She ran and told her father. Now, vayehi kishmoa Lavan et shema Yaakov ben Achoto, on hearing the news of his sister's son, and now the pasuk tells us a few things that Lavan did. Vayaratz likrato, Lavan ran to greet him. Li'echabek lo, he hugged him. Vayinashek lo, and he kissed him, vayivi'ehu el beito, and he took him into the house. So Lavan does four things. He runs to greet him, he hugs him, he kisses him, and brings him into his house. Okay, so if you were to just look at this pasuk objectively, right?
No, Lavan did.
Lavan kissed, and Lavan hugged. If you were to look at these psukim just objectively, how would you characterize Lavan's actions?
It's like two kind of match. It's like there is something there that he wants something. Like
no, that's biased. No. That's biased. Objectively.
I think he was just objectively. I think he was just excited.
No,
it seems like he's very nice. Well,
you hug and then you kiss.
He walked over to him. Yeah, it seems. I think you're biased. I think you have a reader's bias, Chana, because you know a little bit of the story.
Maybe.
Right, but if you just read the psukim at face value,
it seems very normal.
He's very hospitable. Even he invites him into his house. He hugs him. He kisses him. He's very happy to see him. Right, that's what it seems like when you read these. Psukim. Okay.
Has Laban ever met him before?
I don't think
no.
so.
No.
How did he know who he was?
Oh,
she told him. It says, Yaakov told Rachel. She ran and told her father, it says. Right, so she told him. So now he knew.
The guy with the red
he didn't kill him because he even went and hugged his daughter.
He kissed her. He didn't hug
her.
But maybe she didn't tell him that part.
Okay.
That's a good point.
So I wouldn't kill him.
That's a good point. Okay, so What's going on here? So at face value, it seems lovely, right? Lavan is seems to be happy to see Yaakov, right? Yaakov, it's his nephew. It's his nephew. It's his sister's
son.
It's his sister's son. It's his nephew. He's very happy to see him, right? Mishpacha, exactly. Okay, comes along Rashi. And Rashi turns the whole thing on its head. Let's look at Rashi together. Rashi al Breishit Chavtet Yud Gimel, Rashi on Genesis 29:13. In the next source, Vayaretz Likrato. Vayaretz Likrato. Lavan ran to greet him. Now, Lavan ran to greet Yaakov. Kisavur Mamon Hu Ta'un. Why did he run to him? Because he thought he had a lot of money. Sharei Eved Habayit Balakan Ba'asara Gimalim Tu'unim. He remembers. He remembers back when Eliezer came, that he came with a treasure. So he thought that he maybe he had treasure too.
Would Rashi think that he would think that he was rich? I mean, where would that come from?
Well, we know exactly where it comes from, because when Eliezer came, who was sent by Yaakov's father's servant, Eliezer came. He was rich. He figured it's the same family.
Well, all right.
So it's not illogical. It's not illogical to think that Lavan would think that he's wealthy because he has family wealth.
Not the Jewish guy that thinks
he has family wealth. But what's interesting is that Rashi doesn't read Vayaretz Likrato at face value. No. He sees it. It's reasonable to assume, I think, that Lavan thought that he was rich. But Rashi adds a layer and says that's the only reason he ran to greet him is because he thought he had money.
So
right?
Rashi from this puts Lavan as a mean
character.
A
wait,
mean
it,
character.
It, there's more.
Character.
There's more. Vayichabek. So then he hugs him. So what happens? Then he hugs him. Vayichabek. Ah, why? Why? Kishelo ra'a. Kishelo ra'a imoklum. He doesn't see the Gemalim, right? He thought that he would have stuff because Eliezer came with stuff. He doesn't see anything. Amar Shema Zehuvim Heviv Hinat Becheko. Maybe he has some money or some gold coins and he's holding it in his pocket.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's patting him down, right? To see if he has anything. And he doesn't find it. So he goes on. Vayinashek lo. And he kisses him. Amar Shema Margaliot Heviv Hem Befiv. That's weird. That's odd. But maybe it was customary to try to hide coins in your mouth.
What?
Maybe. Maybe.
Like to go on an airplane.
Well,
they check you out.
Yeah, but they right. Disney, but they didn't have right. Bereshit Rabbah. The source is from the Midrash Bereshit Rabbah. So when he saw, he thought perhaps he had brought pearls or precious stones in general, and they're in his mouth. Okay. Vayisaper leLavan, he told Lavan, this is Yaakov now, Sheloba ela mitoch ones achiv v'shenatalu mamono mimenu. He had come only because he was forced to do by his brother and that all his money had been taken from him.
So Yaakov,
very quickly understands what Lavan's up to. He says, by the way, I appreciate the running and the hugging and the kissing, but I have nothing.
I have no money.
I have nothing because my brother took it all.
I love it.
Okay?
Who said something? Nasab Saro Chidudim. Chidudim, Chidudim.
I don't know.
Some kind of Perush. No,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. We'll look it up. We'll look
it's
it up. So here we have what at face value seems like a very straightforward greeting by Lavan to Yaakov, which Rashi turns into some nefarious, sinister attempt by Lavan to shake down Yaakov. For whatever he can get before he's willing to give his daughter Rachel to him.
Who is the brother that forced Yaakov to go?
Esav. He's running away from Esav. Remember, he stole the Bechora. Yeah, he stole the Bracha. Right?
He didn't plan to go to
No, at the end of the Parsha, his mother and father say, look, your brother's going to kill you. You should get out of here. And then his father says, it's okay. His father says, while you're at it, you're going to go for, go look for a wife. go to Padan Aram. Go to my family. Okay.
I thought it was his wife's family.
Yes, his wife's family.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
The mother.
They both told him. They both told him. At the end of the parsha, Yaakov explicitly says, "Go to Padan Aram, where Rivka, go to your mother's brother." Yeah. Okay. So, so we have this idea that Rashi, according to Rashi, everything that that Lavan did here was negative, right? It was his love of money, right, that led him to run to Yaakov, to hug him, to kiss him, and when he did not, now the question is, when he did not succeed in finding any money, according to, now let's just stop, let's pause, let's pretend we're watching this on a movie, right? So Yaakov shows up, and Lavan runs to him, he hugs him, he kisses him, and he realizes there's no money, right? Assuming Rashi's right, what do you think Lavan's going to do next?
Next, say bye.
Take care. Goodbye. Right. Have a nice trip. Have a nice trip. We'll see you. You keep going. Don't forget to write. Right. But that's not what Lavan does. That's not what Lavan does. In the next pasuk, on the bottom of page one, Vayomer lo Lavan ach atzmi uvesari ata. Vayeshev imo chodesh yamim.
Oh my God.
You are truly my bone and flesh when he stayed with him a month's time. So this is out of character, right? According to Rashi.
It doesn't go with Rashi.
According to Rashi, as you all rightly noted, Lavan should have sent Yaakov on his way. Because if the only reason Lavan was interested in Yaakov was because of money, and now there are two proofs he has no money. First, Lavan shaked them down, literally patted them down, and Lavan said, "I have no money. I have no money."
He needed a shidduch for his daughter.
But why would he want a shidduch from a poor man?
It's a man.
He would want a shidduch from someone wealthy, right?
This does not fit.
This at first glance does not fit Rashi, right? Does not fit Rashi's interpretation of Lavan's actions. However, Rashi saves himself. On the next page, on the back page, Rashi says as follows: "Ach atzmi uvisari, you are my bone and my flesh." Listen to this: "Me'ata ein li liaspicha habaita." Really, I have no reason to take you into my house.
Oh my God!
Hoil v'ein biyadcha klum. Right? Meaning, what's he saying? I don't even want you as a shidduch. I don't even want you. I don't have a reason. Meaning, you're not rich, therefore I don't want you in my house. Which also means I don't want you to marry my daughter. If I wanted you to marry my daughter, I would have a reason to have you in my house. But I have no reason to have you in my house. There's no practical thing that I'm going to gain, right? Again, now Rashi's back. Rashi's back on character. The only reason Lavan cares about Yaakov is because he stands to gain. I have nothing to gain from you, he says. Because you're a relative,
okay.
I'm gonna let you stay here for a month. But this wasn't even. He didn't even like say stay. He said stay, but you also shero eh. So no, for he tended love on sheep. So Rashi is back on track. Right? The only reason Lavan doesn't send him out is because some lingering Jewish guilt. She's not Jewish, right? But some lingering guilt that you don't throw family off on the street. You let them stay, even if you really have no interest in them because they have nothing to offer you. All right? This is the way to treat family, right?
Yes.
Okay. So this is Rashi. Rashi, again, sees a very negative, something very suspicious about Lavan. Now, why? Let's understand. Why? Why does Rashi do this?
Because he wasn't a nice guy.
Why? How do you see he wasn't a nice guy? He's a lovely guy.
Well, he just checked him down for money.
No, that's Rashi's interpretation. Why would Rashi interpret it that way? When the rest of us interpret it as, hey, Yaakov, it's so nice to see you. Give me a hug. Ah, what did Rashi do? He read ahead. Exactly. Rashi has the same bias that you started out with, Chana. Rashi knows the end of the story. What does Lavan actually do at the end? He does trick Yaakov. How?
By by giving his other daughter.
He switched. Yeah. He pulled the old switcheroo with his daughters.
I told you he wants to get
right. Right. So Lava. So Rashi, in order, it's interesting. So Rashi, what is Rashi trying to do to Lavan? He's trying to make Lavan
a bad guy.
No. The Torah makes him a bad guy. He's trying to make him consistent. Consistent. We know from the text of the Torah at the end that Lavan is a scoundrel. Because he tries to trick Yaakov. He tries to intimidate Yaakov. He tries to make Yaakov poor. That's explicit in the Torah. So how could it possibly be that at the end of the story, Lavan is a scoundrel? And at the beginning, Naval.
Ah, okay.
Naval, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How could it be, right, Ramai, how could it be that Lavan at the end of the story is such a terrible guy? Terrible guy, you understand? Is such a. How could it be that Lavan at the end of the story is a terrible guy and at the beginning of the story is a tzaddik almost? He's a wonderful, not, he's a mensch. How could that be? So for Rashi, it can't be. For Rashi, there has to be one tipus of a person. And not only you can't be, at one point, it's Rashi is not accepting the possibility that at one point you could be nice, and another circumstance, you could be not nice, right? Which seems to be human nature, but Rashi... Rashi is not accepting this notion that character could change. Even for the worst. It's very hard to change a character for the better. But what Rashi is saying here is you can't even change a character for the worst. It's not even possible that Lavan was a nice guy in this case and then became, for whatever, self-serving reasons, changed his attitude towards Yaakov later. For Rashi, there's just one way to understand.
You can't make him a nice guy.
But here's... Okay. Well, 1 second. Hold on. That is a complicated statement because we believe in tshuva, right? Judaism believes in the.
Doesn't happen in one time in 2 minutes.
But this also didn't happen in 2 minutes. This is decades. This is decades. By the way, this is reverse tshuva because he starts off nice, and then Rashi. That's the problem with Rashi. It's one thing if you want to say, okay, Rashi really felt that tshuva was very hard.
But,
right. That's easier to do, presumably. Right? Okay. So Sandra Morgan wants to know, was it not, what is not to like? Young, good, single man arrives to home with single daughters. The problem, Sandra, is that as far as Lavan could tell, Yaakov is dirt poor. And we know that Lavan had a particular affinity for money. And as Rashi says, although this is not the simple way, the basic way to read it, but as Rashi says, he had no practical reason for Yaakov. And it could be, as Sandra is also pointing out, that his turn later has to do with his daughters. But what's interesting here is that Yaakov is not willing to see the possibility of Lavan starting off as a nice guy and ending off as a scoundrel. He is... painting Yaakov with one character trait as a sneaky, money-grubbing, devious fellow. That's it. And so if that's Rashi's opinion, he has to read into Vayaretz Likarto, Vayachabeklo, Vayanasheklo. He has to read into it and even has to read into this nice statement, Achatzmiu Bisari, you're my family, come to my house. He even has to read into that saying, that's the only reason I'm bringing you in. That's Rashi. Okay.
What you just said now is you read what supposedly what Goyim think about Jews. He's a money grubbing. It's a very
that's interesting.
Negative.
It is negative.
It's a
right.
very negative but statement.
That's what Rashi says about him. Yeah.
Maybe the idea wasn't from the beginning to give him Leah. It developed. It said okay, doesn't have money, can have. Maybe I can use him for.
But it's right. You're right. He may have.
He was from the beginning
bad.
Plotting.
Correct. I agree. That's what's difficult about Rashi. That Rashi makes him to be a very plotting, devious fellow, milechatchila, where it seems it's reasonable to assume that it happened later. At first, he started off nice. And that's what the Ralbag says. Let's look at the Ralbag. Okay. The next source on page two, the Ralbag. When the Ralbag has two different types of commentaries on the Torah. One is he goes like Rashi, word for word, phrase by phrase. But at the end, he he lists a number of lessons that you could learn from each section. And this is the lesson he says, HaToelet HaShishihu B'midot V'hu Shera'ui La'adam She'asof Kirovav Habaita B'vawam Itzlo. What does the Ralbag learn from this? The Ralbag learns a very positive story from Lavan, that it's proper to bring your family into your house. V'lo yimaneh mehem lachmo, and not to hold back, right, from feeding them. Ki hu atzmo b'saro, your flesh and bone. Uvazet tishlam ha'ava ben b'nei mishpacha, and doing this helps develop and seal the love within a family. Halo tir'eh, shelavan asaf et Yaakov habayta b'pnehi oto atzmo b'saro. Don't we see, right? So what the Ralbag says, we see, even we could learn from Lavan this positive attribute of welcoming your family's house. But see, the Ralbag doesn't even talk about the kesef. It doesn't even enter into his mind. The whole discussion of whether he's practically useful or not practically useful, the Ralbag sees just a nice gesture. A nice gesture in Lavan. It's possible to be a nice person and then to become not such a nice person. But this, and presumably the Ralbag would also, and the Ralbag does not agree with Rashi, that he was hugging him to see if he had money and kissing him. This is all just a nice way to greet someone.
Also, the reason that he asked him to work for him, it's not that he thought about him before. He asked him to stay, but then he said, okay, later on, he gets the idea. It might as well work for me if he's not my guest.
Yeah. Okay.
Rashi, you can get them away with him.
I mean, he says to him in the next pasuk, "Vayomer Lavan Yaakov, hachi achi ata ve'avadatani chinam, higidali ma miskoratech." Just because you're my relative, should you serve me for nothing? Tell me, what are your wages? So he already assumes that he's going to work.
But isn't that what he originally wanted? Lavan said, "Hey, I've got this strong guy here.
No,
I need somebody to help me in on my farm.
Yeah,
on my
maybe a Russian.
It could be.
So.
It could be. So yeah, I want to read.
He was going to marry his two daughters.
It could be. Yeah. I want to read this other interpretation. But go ahead. Yeah.
His name is Lavan, which means something good, something pure. Clear, pure, right. White. It doesn't sound to me that Rashi is so right. I'm sorry.
Right,
I
right.
Said that before. I don't
right.
Agree
it's Rashi. Rashi is a stretch.
Colin Shachor.
Right, right. If you look at I found this interpretation from Rav Carmiel Cohn, who teaches at Yeshivat Birkat Moshe in Male Adumim, and he has the following analysis, which is the last source on page 2. Lavan ze sherima et Yaakov, hein b'inyan b'notav v'hein b'inyan maskurato. This is the same Lavan who later tricks Yaakov regarding his daughters and regarding paying him. Va'af b'kesh l'shalcho reikam, and even wants to send them away at the end with nothing. Lachar esrim shenot avoda mifarchot, after 20 years of hard work. Lavan ze eino kulo shachor. Lavan. This Lavan, however, is not all dark. He's not all bad. Gama sim tovim asa b'chayav. V'yesh lanu l'lamdam mimenu. He also did some good things, and we should learn from those things. Hade'aga l'kro ha'mishpacha sheba reikam v'irucho b'veito v'adai shemase na'e hu. Worrying about a relative who's has nothing, and bringing them into your home is certainly a nice thing. Shira'ui shena'aseyu af anu. We should also do it. Muvan shelitzad to'elet mefureshet zoba midot milamdenu haraba gam to'elet nisteret. Asur lanu. So from the fact that the Ralbag learned something positive from this, he also teaches us what not to do. And this was the point. This is beautiful. Asur lanu litzboa dimuyot bitseva achid v'lishpot kol maseim be'erech echad. You can't paint a person, a character, with one brush, and try to judge all of their actions as being all the same. Ha'adam hu murkav mitivo. People are complicated. Va'aleinu litiaches alav lefi masav shebo to sha'a im ra'av im tov. We should look at each person based on the actions that they're doing at that moment. Right? He's interpreting the Ralbag. He's saying, right? He's interpreting, Rav Carmiel Cohn is interpreting the Ralbag. The Ralbag says what Lavan did was nice. By saying,
when was the Ralbag? At the same time when Rashi?
No, later. I'll get you his exact dates.
Do you have something at the same time of the Rashi?
Well, he's still, the Ralbag is still considered to be an important, Torah commentator. And that's the nature of being a Torah commentator is that, right? Obviously, the Ralbag, people say, why are there so many Torah commentaries? Well, presumably, someone had something to say that someone else hadn't said. Right? If everyone agreed with Rashi, there would only be one Torah commentary. Rashi.
Yeah.
But the Ramban disagrees with Rashi. And here the Ralbag disagrees with Rashi. And so he says so. So just to understand what's going on here, the Ralbag is the one who says that what Lavan did was nice.
Was Rashi the first commentator?
No. There's Midrashim that come before.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rashi's in the Middle Ages. Okay, so the Ralbag is 1288 to 1344. Mm-hmm. Okay? And Rashi is 1040 to 1105. So 200 years earlier. Okay? More than 20 years earlier. So the Ralbag here says that the Ralbag says, well, I happen to like the Ralbag. I like the message that the Ralbag is sending.
Yes.
The Ralbag is the one who says that what at this point, at this stage, that what Lavan did was nice.
Yeah. Period.
Period. Plain and simple.
He sees the good in everything.
Right. Right.
Good people
right. And,
make a mistake.
From the fact that then Rav Carmiel Cohen, a contemporary scholar, comes along and says, from the fact that the Ralbag is able to just say this was a nice thing, teaches us something else, which the Ralbag doesn't say explicitly, but it's implicit in his comment, which is you just look at a person based on what they're on their actions. Now, I don't think it's that simple, because if you have someone who has a long, long history of being a bad person, and then they present themselves as being a sheep. It could be a sheep in
Wool's clothing,
but that's not we normally say a wolf in sheep,
in wolf's
right?
Clothing.
So that, but that's this is the opposite. Here we don't really know Lavan at this point. We just know that he's done something nice, and so the Ralbag's point is nice. By the way, there's another example of this when Avraham sends away Hagar and Yishmael.
Right, Kim.
Right, the Torah says, let's go back to that story, because it is an example of this. He sends away Hagar and Yishmael. If you don't have it in front of you, this is in Parshat Vayera. And Vatomer l'Avram garesh ha'ama hazot v'yet bina. Sarah says to Avram, get rid of this maid servant. And her son, ki lo yirash ben amah hazot im bini Yitzhak. He will not inherit with my son, with Yitzhak. And Avram is very upset about this. God says, whatever, kol asher tomar Sarah shema b'kola, do everything that Sarah says. And then what happens? What happens? Yishmael is about to die. They're out in the desert, in the wilderness. They have no
water.
Okay? And then an angel comes to... an angel comes to Hagar and says, do not worry. Everything's going to be okay. Vayishma Elohim et kol hanar, vayikra malach Elohim halagar. An angel of God hears the baby crying. I'm sorry, God hears the baby crying. And then a malach of God says to Hagar, min hashamayim, vayomer la malach Hagar. What are you worried about? Al tiri. Don't worry. Ki shama Elokim et kol hana'ar. God has heard
the voice.
Ba'asher hu sham. Mm-hmm.
Wherever
he is. Which is translated as in his present state. And then the Gemara says, Yishmael, who's going to cause so many troubles to the Jews, why did God allow him to live? Ba'asher Husham. Because at that moment, he's an innocent baby. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done anything. Which is exactly what Rashi does to Lavan. Mm-hmm. Rashi judges Lavan based on what he's going to do later. While God himself refused to judge Ishmael based on what he was going to do later. And that's what Rashi says. Ba'asher Husham. It's a strange language, Ba'asher Husham, which is why the rabbis jump all over it to interpret it. Ba'asher Husham. Lefi ma'asim shehu oseh achshav hu nidon. Rashi quotes the Gemara. Based on how he acts now, he's judged. Velo lefi mashu atid la'asot. And not based on what he will eventually going to do. Lefisha yu malachei hasharet mikatrigim veomrim. The angels said to God, Ribono shel olam, Master of the Universe, Misha tid zaro lahamit banecha bitzama atam ma'ale lo be'er. The people who are going to cause your children to die from thirst, you're going to miraculously provide a well? V'hu meshivam? And God answers, Achshav mahu. What is he now? Tzadik or Rasha? Answer me, God says to the angels. Is he a righteous person or an evil person now? Amru lo tzadik. The angels have no choice but to tell the truth. He's a tzadik. Amar lahem lefi masav shalach shav ani dano v'ze be'asher husham. That's a Gemara and a Midrash. So it's so interesting. Rashi's not willing to give Lavan the same benefit treatment. Right? And Lavan wasn't nearly as, although we do, what do we say about Lavan in the Haggadah? Lavan bikesh la'akor et hakol. Right? Yeah. Different interpretations. What do we say? Lavan, we say, Paro, we say Lavan's even worse than Paro. Paro, we say, only wanted to kill the boys. Lavan ratza la'akor et hakol. Lavan wanted to destroy everything. Maybe we're trying to destroy Yaakov.
Based on the treatment with the
other. Right. So that's so interesting. At the end of the day, Lavan is terrible. Is terrible. But at this point, he was a human, and that's what Rav Carmiel Cohn says. A beautiful line. He says, people are, he says, I like this line a lot. He says, Hadam hu murkav mitivo. People are by nature complicated. And just because someone does something bad, doesn't mean they can't ever do anything good, and there's nothing we can learn from them. And we have to be realistic and a little bit. We have this notion in Hebrew, kabdehu v'chashdehu, right? You want to respect them, but also be suspect. You don't want to become a shmata and all the time just because you're always giving someone the benefit of the doubt, right? But this is a beautiful lesson here.
Yeah, it is a beautiful lesson. We really think about Lavan as a bad character.
And he turns out to be a pretty bad guy. Because at the end he tries to cheat Yaakov more than once. The Torah says that. We're not suggesting that Lavan turns out being a tzaddik. But what we're suggesting is that it's possible that people who are less than stellar, who you may not like, I think the point that we would take away is that there could be people we don't like, but they're capable of doing nice things. We may not like them. They may have done something not nice to us. They may be their complicated personality, but you see them doing something, and so we have two options. We could be Rashi and say, no, they only did that for their self-benefit, for self-interest, to get popular, to trick someone into thinking they're nice, or we could be like the Ralbag, right, and say, okay, that was nice. I still don't like that person. But that was nice, and I could learn from that too, right? And so it is Ralbag, without saying so explicitly, seems to be calling out Rashi and Rav Carmiel Cohn. This distinction is important. Yeah.
Is that typical to Rashi throughout his other perushim to be a little bit tougher than?
I don't know. I'm not a Rashi expert to know whether he has a tendency. But Chazal have a tendency to do this. And that's where Rashi's getting it from. The rabbis have a tendency to try to create a dichotomy. Avraham, Yitzchak good, Yishmael bad. Yaakov good, Esav bad. Yitzchak good, Yaakov good, Lavan bad, yeah. Right? They try, especially in the case of Esav and Yishmael, because you have to be able to justify why they weren't chosen.
Right?
The whole Bereshit is about why wasn't Esav chosen? If you look at the Torah,
in fact, he
had great kibud av.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You go into the forest, it's dangerous. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And Yaakov was the one who acted a little bit like Lavan. Right? Yaakov was the one who tricks his father. And Yishmael too, it says mitzachek. What does that mean? So Rashi there, you're right there, but he's building on the Midrash. Rashi says that Yishmael was involved in murder and gilu arayot and shvichut damim, but doesn't say that in the Torah. So the rabbis, in an attempt to clarify why Esav and Yishmael were rejected, they attach all these negative character traits to them, and Rashi is doing that here. I'm wondering if I want to look up Rashi, see if he's quoting a midrash or if this is his own interpretation. If he's quoting a midrash, then we see a little bit of a pattern of how Rashi picks up on those negative, the negative characterizations of some of the people. I'm looking to see something. When Rashi quotes a midrash, it will tell you in the Rashi that he's quoting a midrash. So let me see. It's not here in what I. Oh, it is in what I gave you. I'm sorry. It says Bereshit Rabba, right? Vayinashek Lo in Chavtet on the first page there. It says he's quoting a midrash. Let's see what it says here. Avayaretz Lekrato Vechabek Bet Resh. Bet Resh. At the end of Vayinashek Lo, there's a Bet Resh. At the end of the whole Amar Shema Margaliot Hevi Vehem Befiv Bet Resh. Second source. Gam Ken Bivrit. Gam Ken. Ken Ken. After Vayinashek Lo. No. In the Rashi.
In the Rashi. In there, yeah.
Bet Resh, Bereshit Rabba. Yeah. So he does quote a Rashi. So that's more Chazal does this. But you're right, Rashi had a choice. And, it's also, some people see Rashi, Gabi, my wife, has done a lot of work on Rashi. And there are some people who see Rashi as being a commentary who is specifically addressing the concerns and the beliefs of the people of medieval France, right? 11th century France, which where Rashi lived. So it's not surprising that Rashi paints anyone who's not Jewish in a negative way, because their experience there was probably not positive, definitely not positive, right? So that also makes sense that Rashi, so even if Rashi does have a tendency to do that, Shula, which is your question, it could be, because Rashi was and most commentaries are right. They're experiencing something, and that's the way.
Who negates Rashi altogether?
No.
He's still important enough that people.
Yeah. Everything starts.
I mean, if he's always
with
negative.
No, he's not always. No, he's not always negative. But again, this is one aspect.
Yeah, you still one of the most important.
So you have to. What you do is you look at Rashi. You try to understand why Rashi, said what he said, and then you look at other commentaries and say maybe Rashi is not a literal understanding, it's more midrashic, and maybe the Rabag is a more literal. They also approach, they have different approaches to how they do that. Yeah?
I kind of like the fact that they point out that they take care of their family. It's not necessarily, this is a little bit a father family, but if you have parents, they used to bring them in and have the older people together living with them. And I'll go to something that doesn't have to do with this. China, that I don't like, they have to take care of the older people and bring them into their house.
Right, so like,
if
so it's a nice thing.
They go to jail.
Right.
We don't have it that
right.
much.
Right, right.
We just say it's not
right.
nice.
Right, right. Okay.